Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Arielle Ford as my guest today. During this special show, Arielle and I will be talking about her sister, Debbie Ford, and a brand new book by Debbie titled Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within. Welcome, Arielle.
Thank you. How are you?
I am really, really happy to talk with you today. I'm so excited to talk to you about this amazing book and how it all came about. It's just such an incredible book and such an incredible story of how it all began. And why don't we just start right in with talking a little bit about your sister, Debbie, and tell the listeners a little bit about her in case they don't know who she is, although so many people do, and she's just the most amazing person. But can you tell us a little bit about Debbie first?
Sure. Yeah, well, Debbie wrote 10 books. The one she's known best for is called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, and she was on Oprah many times. And what she teaches and taught people how to do was to embrace and find the gifts in their dark side, in their shadow self, in the negative emotions that lots of people like to pretend they don't have. And so she had a very spectacular and dramatic life until she crossed over 5 years ago after a very long bout with a very rare cancer. And what happened was about 18 months ago, James von Prague called. And for those who don't know him, he's the world's most famous medium, talks to dead people kind of guy. And he's been a longtime family friend, and he was very close to my sister. And he called to tell me that he had recently moved to San Diego, where we live. And he wanted me and my husband Brian and my mom to come see his new home, and then he would give us a reading with Debbie. And this was really special because you can't actually buy a private reading with James. When he does go out and talk to the dead, he's usually in a ballroom with 3,000 people. And if you're a dead person on the other side is pushy enough, they'll come through and he'll do this public reading for you. Mm-hmm. So we set up a date, and we went up to his house, which is spectacular, and then we sat down in his office for the reading. And the moment he went into the prayer that he does to connect with the other side, my sister came through right away, and she said, Arielle, you have to write a prayer book with me. And my response was, no way. I don't want to write my own books, let alone try and write your books. And she's like, no, you have to write a prayer book with me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. You can't make me. And then the reading progressed, and she had messages for, you know, other people, my mom and for Brian, and other dead relatives came through. And it was a really lovely reading. But every couple of minutes, Debbie would insist, Arielle, you have to write a prayer book with me. And at the end of 90 minutes, we were all tired and hungry because we were planning to go to lunch, she was still at it. You have to write a prayer book with me. So I said to James, you know, she's never going to leave you alone or me until we say yes, and you're going to have to help me because you're the one who hears her, not me. So he said, okay, we'll figure it out. And I said, okay, Debbie, I don't know how we're going to do this, but yes, we will write a prayer book. So later that day, we were driving home, and Brian says to me, you know, I spent so much time with your sister, taking her to doctor's appointments and chemo treatments, and he said, I remember her telling me that she had written some prayers. You know, why don't you email her office, and maybe somebody there kept them? So I got home, and I sent this one-sentence email that basically said, do you by chance have copies of any prayers that Debbie wrote? And I get an email back that says, oh, I can do better than that. She wrote an entire manuscript. I've attached it. So I'm a little freaked out because I was her literary agent and her manager. You would think if she had written a book of prayers, I would have known about this, but somehow I never did. So I open up the manuscript and I start reading, and it's the most beautiful book. It's fully edited. It's complete. It's ready to go. And I'm still freaked out. When did she write this book, you know? But I pick up the phone and I call her editor, Gideon, at Harper One. And I say, "Hey, Gideon, hi, it's Arielle, how are you?" And before I can say anything else, he stops me and he says, "Oh, I'm so glad you called." He said, "For the last 4 years, I've been feeling so guilty. Your sister always wanted to write a prayer book, and I always talked her out of it." And I said, "Well, Gideon, check your inbox. You have redemption. I just sent it to you." And, of course, days later, he bought the book, and now it has come out, and it's called Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within.
Oh. Well, I have it sitting here on my desk, and it's just such an absolutely beautiful cover. I love the picture of your sister Debbie on it. She just looks totally gleeful in it. And the way they did the colors on the cover, it just is spectacular. And I love the subtitle, Discover the Light Within, you know, especially since she was known originally for, like you said, the dark side of the light chasers. It's, you know, really she was about discovering the light within. Like you said, you know, realizing that everybody has their dark side and their light side, and a lot of it has to do with what you focus on and the stories that you tell. You know, like she talked about in The Secret of the Shadow.
Well, the way the book begins is she was a drug addict for many, many years. And after she went to the first three drug treatment centers and they didn't work, she was using more drugs than ever, and finally she realized that if she didn't get clean and sober, she was going to die. So at her fourth treatment center on the 10th day, when she was starting to feel pretty good, she decided, like she'd had in the past, that it was time to leave and go find some drugs.
But instead of
leaving, like she had in the past, this time she locked herself in a bathroom and got down on the dirty floor on her hands and knees and started to pray in a way she'd never prayed before. She prayed for the strength to spend one more day at the treatment center. And even though she was sobbing hysterically during all of this, she said that this sense of peace and calm came over her, and she knew she could spend one more day at the facility. And that was the beginning of her falling in love with God and falling in love with prayer. And literally, prayer saved her life. So one of the reasons that she wrote this book was to share with people not just how prayer can help you with addiction, which pretty much we all have addictions, whether they're hard addictions or soft addictions. You know, we're addicted to something. I'm pretty much addicted to Amazon one-click shopping and sugar. This book is a very prescriptive book that isn't just a book of prayers, although it is filled with original prayers that she has written, prayers by her favorite poet, Emmett Fox, and Marianne Williamson, and Rumi, and Yogananda. But it also has chapters on how you can utilize prayer in every area of your life for healing on the deepest emotional and spiritual issues. So it's a beautiful book, and I always recommend that people first read it cover to cover, but then use it as a daily practice where you just think of something that you need some help with and then randomly open to a page and read that.
That's a great idea. I like that. Yeah, I find that it's really a good idea to read books cover to cover first, because if I skip around in them, then I miss parts. It's so easy to think, oh, I already read that, but you didn't. Or, you know, So, yeah, I think reading it cover to cover first and then using it randomly sounds like a really great idea.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. And I've been hearing from a lot of people who've read the book, and they also came up with that idea on their own, you know, because one of the things Debbie did with this book is that not only did she write a beautiful book, but she literally infused it with love. You can feel the love. The words on the page are filled with love, and when you're holding this book and reading this book, you can feel it.
You know, I feel her here with me right now and with you right now, and just I feel so blessed that I got to meet her a couple times. Once at the I Can Do It in Las Vegas for a huge workshop, one of her big workshops that she had there, and she was all dressed in white and just looking gorgeous. And then there was another time that I met her when she was up here in San Rafael for the Best Year of Your Life, and she was talking at Open Secret Books up there. And that was the best time for me in the sense, though, that she was right there, you know. And I just, that's to me how I really remember her. It just, that's to me the Debbie that you've always described to me and that the one that I think of when I think of her. She just, she was so beautiful and so approachable that day. It was just both, you know. I don't know, it's hard to explain. But I'm really glad that I had that experience and that I got to meet her in person. And
well, you know, just as she's coming to you, I hear from people all the time that even though they never knew her, she's giving them advice from the other side. She was accessible on earth and she's still accessible in heaven.
Oh, so true, so true. Yeah, she definitely talks to me. There's no doubt about it. And she reminds me of things that she's taught me in the past about in The Secret of the Shadow, about not to get caught up in your story and to get outside of your story. And, oh, in the book, The Right Questions, I love that one too. There's a question in there, one of my favorites of hers that became a favorite of mine that's So let's see, am I focusing on what's right? She had said, am I focusing on what's right or wrong? But I just shortened it to, am I focusing on what's right? And that question has helped me so much over the years when things start going wrong, to remember to focus on all that's still right. So I always think of her when I think of that question.
That's so true. Yeah, because what you put your attention on grows. So if you're focused on what's not working, all you're going to get is more of what's not working.
Exactly, exactly. So true. Now, who is the intended audience for Your Holiness? Who do you think would be the main audience?
For this, you know, in the past, it was always, you know, her fans and followers who are interested in doing the deeper spiritual, emotional work. But because this is such a personal book about her addiction and her recovery, I really think that given how important connecting to your higher self is, a higher power, in the 12-step program, it's for people who are working that program, as well as anybody who's interested in connecting to your divine self, people who are very interested in growing themselves spiritually and emotionally, will really find a lot of value in this book.
That makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right. I mean, that it would be perfect for people that are doing that. And also, like you said, just people that want to as well to read all the beautiful prayers that are in there and some of the amazing thoughts that she has in there. I love the chapter called Matrix of Multiple Realities, where she talks about how we can click into different realities, like we can click into fear.com or anger.com or greed.com, or we can click on love.com and happy.com. I can't remember what all the dot-coms that she had in there were.
Change your frequency by what you're tuning into. You know, I actually describe it when I'm teaching women how to find love, that one of the most important parts of that is raising your love frequency, raising your love vibration. So if you're tuned into Lonely and Miserable FM, you know, and that's the song and the soundtrack that's going through your head, you're stuck there. You're trapped. And there are ways to shift into, you know, happy, joyful, and in love FM, you know, and where are you going to put your attention on that? And so it's a really important subject to understand that, as you know, we're all made up of energy. Everything is energy. You know, so where do we want to be vibrating? Do we want to be at the lower frequencies of, you know, anger, fear, frustration, jealousy, envy, or what Debbie would call the dark side? Or do we want to change our story, right, and shift our attention? And the truth is, you can fake it till you make it. You know, even if, you know, at first it feels like you're pretending, your brain doesn't always know the difference. You know, I was just reading a study online the other day about how no matter how you're really feeling, if you put a smile on your face, that sends signals to your brain and to your synapses to release the happy hormones in your brain. You know, so it's really important as evolving and growing and mature adults that we begin to manage our thoughts and our beliefs and our feelings. Because as our friend Wayne Dyer always said, don't believe every thought that you have.
I know, I love
it. Right? So having a thought, whether it's I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too damaged, there's no conscious men out there, just because you're having that thought doesn't make it true at all. There's nothing true about it. It's just a thought. So you get to choose. What am I going to choose? I would always want to choose with I'm happy, lucky, lovable, abundant, super healthy, and more good is on the way.
Sounds really good to me. Yeah, that's exactly the same way that I focus. And you're right. I mean, you constantly have to be guiding your thoughts back to what feels good and look for what the best feeling thought is that you can reach for at the time, because, you know, boy, our society just wants to suck you right into all the fear and anger and jealousy and, you know, comparisons instead of collaboration. And it's, you know, you have to, it's a practice. It's practicing it constantly, I think.
It is. And, you know, you and I teach this stuff, but the more that we stay students of it, the more we get the benefits of it, you know, because people, you know, they'll say to me, oh, well, I saw The Secret and I tried the Law of Attraction and it didn't work for me. Yeah, it didn't work for you because, A, you haven't mastered it. You don't continue to practice it. You're living in the world, well, I'll believe it when I see it, as opposed to what's really true is I'll see it when I believe it.
Right, exactly, like Wayne's book title, you'll see it when you believe it. It's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, I have had that happen to me over and over again during my life. I have so many examples, but I don't have time to talk about any of them, and it's not about me today, but it's so true. I mean, when I have finally been able to shift to believing something can happen, it happens.
Well, not even believing, knowing. That's even
well,
deeper.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you go beyond, you go to believing and then to knowing that it can happen,
Right, because when you're in present moment awareness that what you've asked for is already yours, because on the unseen plane it is, because there is no past, there's no future, there's just this now moment, and as we know about quantum science, we are already connected to everything and everybody. Whatever that desire is not missing. You're just not aware of it. And once you put your awareness on, oh, I am abundant, I am loved, I am healthy, I am happy, then you get to have more of that.
Yeah. But you're so right, though. It's practice, focus and practice, focus and practice. I keep hearing those two words. And the other day I was listening to Cheryl Richardson talking on an interview, and she was saying how she feels that coaches, the best thing that they can do is to be constantly working on their own inner work. And I know how much she loved Debbie, too, and Debbie loved her.
They were very close.
Oh, I know. So I just, you know, whenever I see Debbie, I think of Cheryl. When I see Cheryl, I think of Debbie, back and forth. And both incredible teachers in my life in different ways, but definitely huge teachers in my life. And I'm very grateful for both of them and to have met both of them and to have met you, too. You know, you've been a great teacher in my life, and meeting you and Brian was so wonderful. Dudley and I had so much fun with you guys when we were down in La Jolla with you, and also up here at Book Passage for your
book.
That's
right.
Yeah, that was really fun too. Now, what has losing your sister taught you about life on the other side? Because that's something I'm really curious about.
Well, you know, initially it was dreadfully hard because I just had this craving to have her here in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, more than 5 years has passed and she is such a presence, continuous presence in my life that I was actually talking to Marianne Williamson about this recently. I was telling her, I said, there's a level at which Debbie and I are closer than we've ever been now that she's not here. And Marianne said, well, somebody once asked Yoko Ono, you know, what's it like for you now that John's not here? And she said, before, when he was in his body, mm-hmm. we were together 90% of the time. And now we're together 100% of the time.
Mm. You know, I can totally understand what you're talking about because since my mom's been an angel in the sun since 2006, October, it's like I spent as much time with her as I could, and I really, really loved every minute, and I'm so thankful that I did. And that's something I would urge everybody to do, is spend time with the people that you love while you can, now, while you know for sure you can. But I've also been able to feel her, like you said, 100% of the time, as long as I'm in a good mood. I mean, if I'm in a bad mood, I can't feel her with me. But, you know, but I'm not in bad moods, luckily, very often, because I do focus and practice. I focus and practice. It's not like I ever don't get unhappy. I do. I'm human. And I get frustrated and all the other feelings. But I know how to work my way back up the scale as quickly as possible. And I also know that that I can feel her then.
Yeah, and that's really the benefit of developing a spiritual toolkit, you know, because there are going to be moments in every day and days in every week where we're plugged in or pissed off or unhappy or scared. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. normal. That's life. The difference is once you create your own spiritual toolkit, you then have a choice. You don't have to stay there. You know, you can go from being, you know, miserable to in 5 minutes of EFT tapping or taking an aromatherapy bath or doing the Sedona method or doing a heart lock-in or whatever your practices are. You can mm-hmm. do that mm-hmm. and very quickly, you know, reestablish the place you most want to live in, which for me is happy and optimistic.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, that's definitely where I like to hang out, is happy and optimistic.
Yeah, why not? We get to choose.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, even if circumstances are not looking good, you don't have to let the circumstances dictate how you're feeling about all of it. Or as, you know, I like to say, you know, life isn't happening to me, it's happening for me.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. I really like that. You know, we're at just we've only got a little over five minutes left, and I just want to ask the questions for the audience to think about, and then we'll get back to talking about it. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, Ariel, you know, I just so much appreciate all that you and Debbie and Brian and all of the people I know that understand all of this are doing to bring out more light in the world, you know, and help people discover the light that they have within. That's so cool.
Well, one of the things I most believe is that if you really want to be a light worker on this planet, you can more than triple your light working power once you're living your life with your soulmate. You know, Brian likes to say that in soulmate math, in regular arithmetic, 1 + 1 = 2, but in soulmate math, 1 + 1 = 11. So anybody out there listening that feels their soul calling for a soulmate and hasn't been able to do it on their own in the past, I want you to check out a particular website of mine. It's called SoulmatePassion44.com, SoulmatePassion44.com, and it will lead you to a free webinar where you'll get lots of unbelievable information on how to manifest the love of your life.
And is that for both men and women? It's for everybody, right?
No, this is not. It's for women.
This one's for women.
Was designed for women. You know, I don't have a lot of men coming to me saying they're having a problem finding love. It's mostly women, particularly spiritual conscious women that have achieved success in lots of areas of their life but just really struggle with love. And my friend Claire Zammit and I have really cracked the code about how to make that change and how to really manifest what we call big love.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, I have to say I absolutely love your book, The Soulmate Secret, too. And that's also a website that people can go to as well, as
soulmatesecret.com,
right?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, that's so true.
Yeah. And then for Debbie Ford, your sister Debbie Ford, it's debbieford.com. And for about the book, it's your holiness.
Or if you just go to debbieford.com, you can get all the information on the book. And if you buy the book, it comes with all kinds of great bonuses, including a half-hour video where I interview Debbie about the book via James von Prague. And it also has audios of various meditations that she leads you through and some other goodies. So if the book sounds interesting to you, if there's healing that your soul requires spiritually and emotionally, go to debbieford.com.
That's fantastic. That sounds really good. I want to hear them. Oh, Arielle, we've got 2 minutes left. What's one last piece of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, I think what I really want people to most know is that who you are right now today is enough. Okay, you don't have to become anybody else or anything else or turn yourself into a pretzel to make anybody else happy. Who you are as a human being is already more than enough. And so many people spend so much time trying to get somewhere else. You know, if only I were smarter, if only I had a different job, if only I lost weight, if only this, then I would be happy. And the truth is, you can be happy right now when you start to love and appreciate and accept yourself exactly the way you are in this moment. And this doesn't mean, you know, not to have practices for self-improvement. I'm just saying, don't measure yourself by any other standard. Who you are is enough.
I love that. Yeah, and as Louise Hay would say, I love myself. I love myself. And I accept myself just the way I am. Yeah, and
exactly.
still strive to be the best that you can be at the same time. And live your best life. Wow. Well, thank you so much for being back on the show. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm really glad I have Debbie's new book and her old ones and all of your books as well. So thank you, Arielle.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks for what you do in the world and for spreading all these good messages, because Lord knows we need it.
Oh, we do. We do. Bye for now, everyone. Please.
Bye, Margo. Thank you.
Yeah, please send this, share this with your friends, everyone. I'm sure everyone will enjoy it. Bye, Arielle. Bye, everyone.
Bye.